All right, wait a minute. I cannot get off. Some days you do this to me. I can't get off this. No, I try to get off a topic and you just pull me back. You are fascinated by this and the texts keep coming. And I want to move on to something else, but I can't. And I live to serve the people, so that's what I'll do. A lot of you obsessed with this story for some reason this morning. Instagram video shows pastor, it's Greenville pastor John Gray, giving his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. For their 8th anniversary, putting many men to shame, I will say. Anyway. Yep, the Instagram video taken at the celebration. Gray gives his wife the keys, saying, Lamborghini Urus. He heads the Relentless Church in Greenville. And acknowledges on social media he bought his wife the car for their anniversary. Responding to criticism of the purchase, God helped me make my wife's dream come true, he wrote in an Instagram post. Why not? She's made mine come true. Now, he has a lot of different income sources, not just the church. He's a songwriter. He does tours. He's a Christian comedian. And he also has a television, like evangelistic television show, I guess. I don't know. I've never watched it. So he has other income streams. It's not known which income stream he used to pay for the car, although I am sure with the attention he has gotten, the IRS will be checking into that. They do that kind of thing. So getting a lot of feedback from you, which I would read if my computer had not crashed, on this. Folks upset that he spent the money for a $200,000 Lamborghini. I am sorry. I'm going to have to move on from this topic till we can get the computer working again. Let's see. Let's try this. Okay, here's some feedback. Outrageous, a pastor would be so socially clueless that he would go out and buy his wife a Lamborghini. Ooh. Emailer continues. Billy Graham had a net worth estimated at $25 million when he passed away. Can you imagine him bringing home a $200,000 sports car? Now, wait a minute. This is interesting. I verified this at the break. Yes, this is true. Billy Graham was one of America's richest pastors. Died at age 99 with an estimated net worth of $25 million. So wait a minute. Is the problem that the pastor didn't save the money? Because everybody loved Graham. He is revered. Nobody cared that he was worth $25 million, even though he had dedicated his life to spreading the gospel. So is it that the guy has made a lot of money and hasn't given it away to the poor? Or is it that he spent money on the car and didn't keep it in the bank and other assets like Billy Graham did? And do you have a problem with Billy Graham dying with $25 million net worth? Please don't send me hate mail that I'm criticizing Billy Graham. I'm not. I'm just laying the two out side by side to see if that changes your perspective. Texter writes, if John Gray really loved his wife, he would have bought her an American muscle car, not a foreign Italian piece of poo. Thank you for your input. Texter writes, if there was any justice in this world, my wife should give me a damn Lamborghini. Sounds like a personal situation, sir. Texter writes, but thank you for your input to the debate this morning. Texter writes, if that pastor has enough income from outside interest to buy that kind of car, he probably doesn't have time to tend to his flock. Well, that's up to them. The flock can scatter any time, you know. Texter writes, World Redemption Outreach is a church like Jesse Jackson is a pastor. Texter writes, Pat Robertson has dozens of multi-million dollar thoroughbred horses. If you look at the hood ornament on a Lamborghini, it's a horse. Coincidence? Y'all getting deep on me this morning. Texter writes, I think it's a good thing that the pastor did that. It'll help people to realize that giving to a mega church is very different from giving to charity. Well, again, that assumes that he took the church money. We do not know that. He's got a lot of other sources of income, and I don't want to say he did that because we do not know. Texter writes, wow, these morons hating on a man that wants to make his wife happy. Get a life, losers. It is kind of touching that he did that for his wife. Everything, the morality of the situation and ethics of it aside. Oh, boy. Texter writes about Moonbeam. And by being on the same page, Moonbeam very worried that the Democrat, Governor Jerry Brown of California, who's retiring. He's very worried because the Republican Party is so weak, they won't call the Democrats out on anything. He says the Democrats are getting too radical for voters, and they're going to lose to voters. Oh, by the way, as we learn more about the atrocity of President Trump, I just want to emphasize, if President Trump had himself written a check to Stormy Daniels and the other floozy, you know that's totally legal, right? In exchange for their signs, completely legal. What they're getting him on is a causing a third party to make a campaign illegal campaign donation charge. And again, the only reason that you are seeing Cohen plead to that is to avoid the 20 years he could be serving on the tax charges. But I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember when Cohen, who's Trump's attorney, used to record people, his clients? He recorded Trump. And there is a recording of Trump talking about the checks that he wrote to these women, on which Trump is saying, please pay them using a check. Okay. If somebody's aim is to commit a campaign finance violation, wouldn't you pay in cash? Yet the president emphasized, before he wasn't president then, the president emphasized, pay with a check. Why? Because it wasn't illegal. The only way it could be illegal is if the president did this to help his campaign. They'd have to prove that. He couldn't do it because he was embarrassed, couldn't do it because Melania might get mad, couldn't do it because he didn't want his sons to know, couldn't do it for any reason. It had to be just for, because that would be legal, even paying through Cohen. Had to be just for the campaign. You know, like when Obama did it, the same thing. Wait, what? Oh, you didn't know Obama did the same thing? Wait, it's Obama. He's above the law, as we know. Yeah, you mean you didn't realize? Okay. Yeah, no, the FBI didn't care either. When Obama offered a $150,000 bribe to silence the crackpot preacher, Jeremiah Wright, and no charges were filed, you didn't realize Obama did the identical thing, right? No, this is the outrage of it. The Mueller special counsel, New York District Attorney's Office, seek to destroy President Trump for paying out $130,000 in hush money to two former floozies. Well, they're still floozies. They're just not his floozies. The New York District Attorney's Office, remember, picked up the case because the state case, Trump can't pardon a guy. Can in a federal case, not a state case. Many experts believe paying hush money is not a crime. They can't get Trump on paying it. Again, they got to get him on the third party, having the third party do it, and supposing it's a campaign donation, and then you can go forward with the charge of making a third party make an illegal campaign donation, right? Like Obama did. Obama also offered hush money to a close associate before the 2008 campaign. Obama's closest friends sent Reverend Wright an email he still has a copy of. You find it online. An email offering him $150,000 in hush money to go silent before the election. He did. Years later, Jeremiah Wright admitted to author Ed Klein that he was offered the $150,000 bribe to go away. After the media went ballistic on me, I received an email offering me money not to preach at all until the November presidential election, because he was a noted anti-Semite. He hated Jews. Hated everybody, basically. Who sent the email? One of Barack Obama's closest friends. He offered you money? How much money did he offer? $150,000. Did it ever get paid? He quit preaching. We don't know. No one ever investigated. Wasn't important enough. It's just Obama, so it's not a crime. All right, so the battle continues to keep you from finding out what riches lie off our coast. Yeah, a bunch of Republicans and U.S. Congressman-elect Joe Cunningham, he's a Democrat out there on the coast. Yeah, the coast actually elected a Democrat. What a bunch of wackos. Signing on to show support for the environmental lawsuits aimed at putting a stop to seismic testing off the coast of South Carolina. Yeah. Now, this is not drilling. It's not fracking. This is testing to find out what's out there. We got a pretty good idea because 5 years ago, U.S. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management suggested the Atlantic Shelf off North and South Carolina contained, are you ready for this, 3.3 billion barrels of recoverable oil and 31.3 trillion cubic feet of recoverable natural gas. Those are just preliminary estimates, and given the jumps in technology we've seen in just the last half a decade, which have made us now the world's number one energy producer, which is staggering. You think, you know, wow. I mean, what could that do for South Carolina? Wouldn't you want to know what's out there? I mean, we don't have to commit to drilling or anything. We don't have to commit to fracking. We don't have to commit to doing anything. But wouldn't you want to do the tests? Well, the U.S. Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management is a federal agency. Well, it's a federal department anyway, I should say. Did a $50 million study under Obama. So they wanted to see if the seismic testing, they sent the seismic waves out, was, you know, was it hurting animals? Was it hurting sea life? Were there any problems? $50 million they spent. Do you know what they found? No. Not at all. In fact, the dolphins love it when you do that. No, it makes them nuts. In a good way. They follow the boats. They seem very happy about the seismic testing. They like it a lot. Maybe they're like dopes. You got to see how much natural gas you got down there. All right, so these idiots in our legislature are backing this lawsuit, anything to keep you from finding out how rich this state is. Jeff Duncan, our congressmember and one of my favorite congressmembers, writes this about, excuse me, cough button. I think I'm getting sick. Writes this about doing discovery off our coast, as Trump wants to do. Here's Jeff Duncan on Facebook. What harm does it do to look? We might discover, as did Guyana, and that's another African country, over 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, definitely worth producing. Then, with a revitalized port of Georgetown, this is here, we have a port called Georgetown here in South Carolina. Then, with a revitalized port of Georgetown as a liquid natural gas export terminal, providing natural gas to Europe, South Carolina would play a part in geopolitical energy. Just think about the jobs, man! Exclamation point. So says Jeff Duncan, who, by the way, knows what he's talking about. He sits on the committee that studies these leases. And let me explain to you what this means for South Carolina, okay? Because you have these idiots out on the coast. We're like, wait, it's going to hurt tourism. Oil spill? Yeah. Well, natural gas doesn't spill like oil. Can we look for that? No! Because it's next to the oil. We might find out how much oil we have, and then you'll go crazy wanting to drill. I have never seen such rolling, grinding stupidity. Why wouldn't we want to know what's out there? We don't want to know. Because then we can't get it. Okay. Let me explain to you what this means in terms of our lifestyle, okay? The state of Texas, process this from, it's the whole state. It's not just the oil and natural gas drilling areas. It's the whole state. The state of Texas. Do you remember the Great Recession? Yeah, it sucked, didn't it? It hurt. It hurt bad. Would you like to go through that again? We will sometime. There's going to be another recession, inevitably, and there always is. Or would you rather just skip it? Just opt out. I mean, the rest of the country be having it, but you won't. The worst Texas did economic growth-wise during the Great Recession, you want to know? 4%. That's what we're striving to get to nationally, 4%. The worst they did was 4%. They opted out of the Great Recession. They simply didn't participate. They were rocking it at times, at quarters, during the Great Recession with 6% and 7% growth. That didn't even count Wyoming. They had double-digit growth. And so Texas alone added more jobs during some quarters of the Great Recession than the entire rest of the country combined. That's what it looks like when you opt out of a recession. You opt out of that level of suffering in all of your industries, from real estate to everything. Would you like to opt out of the next recession? We could. We can. Assuming it's not right around the corner. I hope it's not. We can. And as Jeff Duncan has brilliantly put it so many times, I'm glad he's my Congress member. Okay, if you don't, look, let's go find out what's out there. The dolphins love the sonic booms. They say bring it. And even the Obama administration said it doesn't do any damage to the wildlife to do the seismic testing. And if we decide we don't want to risk an oil spill, fine, let's get the natural gas. I have not yet heard a single politician in the state make a coherent, logical argument against that, because it makes too much sense. Makes too much sense. And yet they're being sued to stop them. This is just idiots, grinding idiocy in motion. And this is as we raise gas taxes, folks. By the way federal law works now, the state would get a share of the profits. It's a very large share of the profits. I can't remember. I want to say it's a third, but I don't want to quote Jeff Duncan because I think he said a third, but I can't. I don't remember exactly. But it was very large. And yet these same idiots are hitting some of the poorest people in this entire state, particularly in Berkeley County. You should see the grinding poverty there. Still paying billions of dollars in to build what? A nuclear reactor. What do you think happens when that thing goes down? Yeah, uninhabitable for 100 years. I mean, you talk about off the coast where the horizon was. That oil's gone. It's fine. It doesn't make sense. None of this makes any damn sense. I mean, can you imagine Georgetown as a liquid natural gas export terminal? What that would mean for us? Oh, never mind. It makes too much sense. And I just, you know what? I'm just going to bang my head against the wall. Oh, by the way, speaking of great news, U.S. dominance in oil markets is only going to get better. CNBC and IEA says, yes, massive growing influence. And South Carolina could be right at the head of this. We could be right there. It could be us. No, but we want to be backwards and stupid. We don't mind the fecal matter in the morning in the water at Myrtle Beach, but we don't want oil. Oh, by the way, did you know most oil spills are from tankers, not platforms? Horizon was a really rare case. Do you know we have oil tankers going up and down the Gulf Coast every day that could spill at any moment? Yeah. And yet they don't even want to explore. They're nuts. Do you realize there's just 12 days until Christmas? Wow, this year's gone by fast, hasn't it? Yep, 12 days left. So get out there and get that shopping done if you've still got that on your list. Texter writes, if the South Carolina coasties are so worried about the offshore environment, why don't they get the Air Force to find and recover the H-bomb that was accidentally dropped out there from the crippled B-47 in 1957? Texter writes, hey, Tara, nobody is giving Trump credit for low gas prices. If it was Obama, you'd never hear the end of it. Good point. In fact, they were blaming Trump when the prices were higher, even though that was the Russians holding back supply. But anyway, in concert with the Saudis and OPEC members. Texter writes, I think we should keep a lot of our oil in reserves for future sake. I have lived in areas out west during the oil and gas boom. I promise you the type of people that the oil and gas industry will bring to our coast will not be compatible with current residents and southern charm. If you want an idea of what a hardcore coastal oil gas area looks like, take a look at Venice, Louisiana. Well, how about the Gulf of Texas? That's a hardcore oil and natural gas area. Also listed as one of the top five vacation destinations in the country. How about the coast of Florida? Yeah, nobody vacations there. That's just silly. You wouldn't like the people who come in here? They're bad people. Come on. I'm sure we could overlook it if we never had to go through a recession again as a state. Well, they're shifty people, these people who work on oil platforms. Yeah, they're shifty people who make $100,000 a year and spend the money. And so while the rest of the country goes through the Great Recession, which is just when economic growth drops to nothing or goes negative over a series of quarters. I mean, Texas just opted out because of their oil and natural gas industry. Just opted out. I mean, the rest of us are suffering. They're polling 4% growth, and that's a crappy quarter. At times during the Great Recession, they were doing 6 and 7. But we don't want to do that. It would be too easy. I mean, people should suffer. They should suffer with everybody else. That's the position of these folks in South Carolina. It drives me crazy. Texas writes, did you notice the genius, Mad Maxine said, Trump's talk of his people revolting if he's impeached is resonating instead of resonating with some people. I listened again, and that's indeed what she said. So says Alan. Yeah, I think she wants him to resonate or us and just go away. Oh, boy. All right. Meanwhile, I need to turn the audio back on. I'm sorry. I forgot to tell my producer that. Can you turn the audio? Yeah, there we go. Okay. I wanted you to hear this. This is Tucker last night. You know the smackdown between Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi as Trump gigged them into having an actual live border enforcement debate that the media could not moderate and tell lies. And they just were in a panic. I paid you the audio yesterday of Nancy and Chuck just begging Trump, please, 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 let's go back behind closed doors. So they don't want to have a debate. 16 minutes passes, and not once do they make an offer of any kind of solution for the border. They just say no wall, no wall. Why? Why no wall? Oh, because experts say it doesn't work. What experts? They didn't say. They don't know, and they didn't say. So Tucker last night, Tucker Carlson on Fox News, brings in David Rubin. He would know. David Rubin is the mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Now, remember, Trump laid these stats out. Okay, and all Schumer said was experts say it doesn't work. He didn't even name which experts, any kind of study, nothing. He doesn't care. In fact, Chuck doesn't want a wall because the wall would work. And that goes against Chuck's interest. So Trump's laying this out in the meeting.
If you look at San Diego, illegal traffic dropped 92% once the wall was up. El Paso, illegal traffic dropped 72%, then ultimately 95% once the wall was up. In Tucson, Arizona, illegal traffic dropped 92%. Yuma, it dropped illegal traffic 95 to 96%.
Okay, so he's like, 'cause these are the sections of the wall they've already built. Okay, here's David Rubin, former Israeli mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Because remember Chuck said, Senator Chuck Schumer said, you know, did the experts say the wall doesn't work? Well, he is an expert. He's from Israel, the area where they built the wall. Take a listen.
Between 2010 and 2012, there were 55,000 illegal immigrants into Israel. Now, you have to understand, Israel is a tiny country, so 55,000 illegal immigrants in just a couple of years is a lot of illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And most of them settled in southern Tel Aviv, which was already a working class or a little bit rundown area. The rapes and murders in southern Tel Aviv skyrocketed in those few years. The Israeli government, under pressure, from the grassroots mainly, grassroots protests from the residents of South Tel Aviv and other towns that were being overrun by these illegal immigrants, the Israeli government made a decision that they were going to build a wall, a high-tech steel wall on the southern border, the border between Egypt and Israel. So it was built over the next few years. It was completed, almost completed, by 2015. In 2016, the wall was up. 2016, there were 11 illegal immigrants who entered Israel. And then they raised the height of the wall an additional several feet. And in 2017, there was not one illegal immigrant that made it through the southern border into Israel.
So that is a remarkable story.
It works.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It works. That's why they got to fight it tooth and nail. Because they need people to come here and get on welfare and vote Democrat. And see, they're just not going to do that if there's a wall in the way and they can't get around it. Texter writes, Tara, I have a friend that works on an oil platform as a cook. He makes close to $135,000 a year. See, we don't want that here. That's not good. No, we don't want that. Why? I don't know. Call Columbia. Ask our representatives why they don't want it. It's baffling. I can't answer the question. Dexter writes, since when does spending $5 billion on something that might not work bother Democrats? Since about 5 minutes ago when Trump proposed it. Since about that long. All right. You know the song Baby, It's Cold Outside? All the controversy that has surrounded that? Yeah. And snowflakes want a comment because it is offensive. Until they're asked about it in a slightly different way. You're going to love this coming up next. Also, First Dick's announces they may have to close their entire chain of shooting goods stores. Outdoor stores, I should say. Yeah, because you get woke, go broke. Well, guess who else got woke and is growing broke? All that coming up next. Did you see this? Boy Scouts of America may declare bankruptcy. Ouch. Yep, Boy Scouts of America going down, maybe. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, and it's been a massacre for them, honestly. I mean, they're just dealing with a lot of, quite frankly, problems. And Wall Street Journal forecasting their membership numbers will continue to decline, and with them, their financial problems continuing to mount. Earlier this year, the Mormon Church announced the end of longstanding partnership with the Boy Scouts and the formation of its own program beginning in 2020. That means, and I had no idea the Mormon Church was this into Boy Scouts, but they are. That's a move that could cost the organization almost a third of its members. The Mormon Church was reportedly deeply troubled by the group's decision to allow openly gay leaders. Additionally, the Boy Scouts have come under criticism of late for keeping records of sex abuse perpetrated by Scoutmasters, called the perversion files, keeping them under wrap for decades instead of revealing them to the public. So a big mess here. The Wednesday report comes in the wake of a sinking membership with multiple controversies surrounding the 108-year-old organization, including sex abuse allegations and its controversial decision to change its program name from Boy Scouts to just Scouts. It's because we wouldn't want to have any sort of gender delineation, because as we know, we all know gender is not real, no matter how different we look when we don't have any clothes on. Chicago law firm Sidley Austin has reportedly been hired to assist in what would be a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. To what extent has the Boy Scouts declined? As the organization has made decisions deemed to be more inclusive, such as allowing openly gay Scouts in 2013, Scoutmasters in 2015, and the 2018 decision to allow girls, membership has continued to drop sharply from over 4 million members at its peak to 2.3 million members at present. I tell you what, get woke, go broke, folks. You know, this is the same thing that's happening to dicks right now. These organizations don't poll their bases, don't poll their customers. Don't say, you know what, how many people agree with us besides all of our liberal friends that we know? There's none of that. And they just go do this crazy stuff. Hey, let's not try to serve our constituents. Let's not try to serve our, you know, our buyers, our customers. Let's just do what we feel and tell them to go to hell. And then they do. They're like, all right, see ya. And off they go. Texter earlier wrote, and it's way back down, hundreds of texts ago on the text line, but Texter writes, the left win. Texter wrote, the left wins. And they do. If the NFL goes broke and goes away, they win. Or if they bend it to their will and they're able to corrupt another national, you know, symbol, then they win too. Have you noticed, by the way, all of this stuff is related. Everything they're targeting, from the NFL to the Boy Scouts, to the Girl Scouts, to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, to Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, all of those things have one thing in common. They are uniquely American, iconic national treasures and traditions. They're infused with American culture. And they want to destroy American culture. Why do they want to destroy American culture? Because you have to destroy. The communist Chinese understood this when they outlawed any vestige or symbol of Chinese culture during the communist revolution. In order to erase the national identity and change it to a loyalty to the party, you got to first erase the national identity. I mean, how are you going to erase the borders if you don't erase the national identity first? It's all hand in hand, folks. This is what we're seeing with dicks. This is what we're seeing with the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the NFL. I mean, you can't watch Little Mermaid anymore. Snow White is out. Sleeping Beauty, probably the end of that, too. I mean, this has just been the last couple of months. So this is a win from them on the Boy Scouts. I mean, this is a American-infused cultural tradition, and it's out the door. That is exactly what they want. Anything American is shameful and must be verboten. Yeah. All right. Wait to hear this audio. I have coming up next, snowflakes, tracking about Baby It's Cold Outside. It'll crack you up.